Well, I hope you listen to the words. What a great message and song. Amen. Once you go to the book of Revelation tonight, we're going to cover a little territory, of course, we've covered before, Revelation chapter 3. Talk to you a little bit tonight on the protected church. Brother Parsons brought me something to drink. I think it's water. All right, listen, it's got to cut me a little slack tonight. It's holiday weekend. I didn't get to take the holiday Friday or Saturday or today, so I thought I'd take it out of the sermon tonight. cut me a little slack. I'm goofing off a little bit. I say, how does a preacher goof off? Well, for one thing, I only shave one time today. Generally, it's twice. Then I got to thinking, well, it's the same old crowd going to be here tonight, and not many of them, and most of them aren't going to get that close to know. Plus, I left my razor at home, and so I'm goofing off. Two things there. The other thing I'm going to goof off on will become very apparent very soon tonight. That is that I'm not quite as prepared as I am sometime. Now, you know what that means? It means you just put it in neutral and say, Lord, put me in whatever gear you want me in. Some of you don't understand that terminology, do you? Especially you that are raised on automatic shifts, amen? Revelation chapter 3, there's the letters to the seven churches. This is the letter to the sixth church, the Church of Philadelphia. We've taught that in Sunday school. And Philadelphia was the great church out of the bunch. It was a church, the word Philadelphia means brotherly love. The big city is named that. It sure don't live up to it, does it? But anyway, with that said, it is a great church in church history. Now, we recognize these were all local churches in Asia Minor when John was writing from the Isle of Patmos there in exile. We recognize that. But we also recognize it seems to be, as God does so many times in the Word of God, He gives a secondary application that we can spot. And that secondary application is, as we look through church history, we can see different times, series of years, that the church went through. And when I say the church, I'm talking about it generically. I believe in local, individual, autonomous churches, assemblies. But at the same time, we can see what phase the church was going through at certain times. And the church of Philadelphia is the sixth one, the best one. The seventh letter is to a liberal church. It's to a church that fits us today in the church age better than any other time. The Laodicean church, the one that makes God sick on his stomach, that he wants to spew out of his mouth because of their liberalism. You don't have to do much but read the newspaper, look around today, see what's going on to recognize we've got to be in what we would call the Laodicean church age. A church that thinks they're rich, but they're poor in the eyes of God. Amen? Now, this Philadelphian church, that's the one we want to be like. That's the one we want to claim our church is like and strive to be like. But it has two big trademarks that you notice. To begin with, it is for the Jew. Number two, it is for the Word of God, or for the Word of God and the Jew, because the Word of God teaches that. If you look around today, you can see that's what we stand for. Sometimes we get criticized for both. A fellow was visiting in the church, Brother Kevin, you would probably remember Andy Wilson, a name change there. But Andy's been out in California and places, and when he goes to another city in his business, he said, I always try to find a fundamental church to visit. And he said, I thought I went into one, and you can also think that sometime and not be in one. And he said, of all things, I'm sitting there listening to the preacher get started, and next thing I know, he's criticizing Mickey Carter. In California. No, I'm sorry. He crossed over in Arizona, I think he said. Now, you got to understand Andy. He is different. Very different. he and his buddy walked in the church. He said, next thing I knew, I found myself standing up and saying, hey, that's the preacher I got saved under. Don't speak bad of him. My name can get you in trouble in some places. Amen. But the Philadelphian church is not the Laodicean church. It's not the liberal one. It's not the one that's lukewarm and makes God sick. Now, these two trademarks of the church, the Word of God and being for the nation of Israel, from the very earliest when I got saved, I would hear preachers preach what I'm talking about. They would preach this Bible is the Word of God. And they would preach for Israel, and they would talk about Israel, the fig tree budding and coming back in 1948, and that was a theme you'd hear. Don't hear that so much anymore. We ought to hear it more. We're closer to the coming of the Lord, and yet they were using that as a sign back there, big sign, that Jesus was coming soon. I remember that. Hey, think about something, folks. I'm gonna chase some rabbits, maybe. Think about something. We're celebrating the 4th, 244 years. Do you realize, our nation, 244 years. Do you realize that I've been here when I make it to January, 50 years? Do you realize our nation was not quite 200 years old when I came to pastor this church? Say, what's that got to do with it? Nothing except to say a lot of time has gone by. And a lot of changes, and a lot of it hadn't been for good. A lot of men have departed the Word of God. They've lost their stand for Israel as the Bible teaches us to be. And these trademarks identify the Philadelphian church. Now, it's a church, and this is what I want to preach on tonight. It's a protected church. It's a church of a special promise. Look at it in verse 10. We're going to read a few more verses, but we'll pick it out here in verse 10. Start in verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. Somebody calls us the church of the open door. Okay. And no man can shut it. Boy, there's a bunch of them trying right now. And no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Think about that a minute. Not denied the name. Boy, they're denying it today. I was seeing where these writers are wanting to tear down a statue they found of Jesus because they said he was a white Jesus. I got news for you, brother. He's for white, black, red, and pink, whatever else. He wants to save them, amen. Somebody says, well, black lives matter. All lives matter. All lives matter. And it's not the color of your skin. It's where your heart's been washed in the blood. Amen? That's the color it ought to be. But he says here, thou hast kept my word, not denied my name. He said, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not. There's a crowd like that around. But do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee because, why? Thou hast kept the word. There we go. That's an identifying mark. Kept the word of my patience. I will also keep thee from, and here's the promise, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon a piece of the world, no, all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Come on back to verse 10 with me just a moment. The hour of temptation. Now, when you measure time compared to the history of the world, the hour of temptation, an hour wouldn't sound like much compared to thousands of years. I believe the tribulation period is 7 years long, and I believe it's that hour that it's talking about. Now, that's not long compared to the rest, so it could be called an hour. But it's going to be a time of temptation, a time of testing, a time of challenge, a time when the church is going to be tested like never before. The tribulation period will test the Jew, and the church won't be here. I believe it's going to be gone. And that's the promise. I'll keep you from the hour of testing. I like that. Brother, it's testy enough right now for me. And I'll be glad not to get it any worse. Amen? Part of my prayer, I don't know about you, but part of my prayer daily is, Lord, come quickly. I've told him over and over, I see no answer, other answer but you. And I believe that is the answer. This is a church of special promise. Now, the questions of the day today, and so many folks are asking, and I scattered a little bit tonight. They're asking about the virus. They're asking about the mobs. And they're asking, is our pre-trib. I talked to a preacher on the phone the other day, one you'd know, Brother Mann. I talked to him on the other day. He said, should we change our doctrine? I said, no, let's wait a little longer. Let's wait a little longer. I believe the Lord is very conscious of what's going on. And I do believe the good church of Philadelphia has a promise to be kept from the hour of temptation. You know, our pre-trib model. Now, we hear a lot about models. And I'm talking about scenarios that they plan. Listen, as bad as the virus is, it does not live up to their predictions and their model that they predicted. They predicted 2 million deaths. It's not going to hit that. 2.5 million deaths. No, it's not. No, it's not. In fact, the death rate keeps going lower. In fact, the more they test, the more they find out, the more they say somebody's got it, maybe they have, but the death rate is not living up to the hype of the rest of it. Now, there's new questions in our days concerning the mob that we see in the street, the pre-trib model, and all of that. Our model is that we believe the rapture is going to take place. Our model is we believe the trib is going to run its 7 years on earth as was given to Jacob, to Israel, as the day of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30. We believe that is a setting that we can lock on. We believe that to be true. And so the present events seem to be pointing to that, pointing to it every kind of way. I spoke to you from the pulpit here several times and mentioned Revelation 8, where the burning mountain of fire is going to come on the earth. And we can see the setting of that being near the end of the 7 years. At the same time, NASA's telling us they know the date an asteroid will hit the earth that would fulfill. Now, by the way, you might not know this, but they've already landed some satellites on some asteroids. And some think they may have even planted a bomb on one. I don't know. That's talk. Some people writing about it. The plan is divert that thing before it hits the earth. And I would say, humanly speaking, yeah, but I want to tell you something. If God said it was going to hit, it's going to hit. It may not be that one. It'll be another one, but it's going to hit, just like the Bible says. Plant all the bombs on it you want to. But look at this scenario, and I've said this over and over, but some of you hadn't got it yet. If that thing's coming in 2029, 9 years away, and we believe in a 7-year tribulation period, take the 7 from the 9, that would mean the rapture needs to occur in the next 2 years. Does that bother you? You gonna sleep good tonight? Amen. I am. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Now, that may not be it. That may not be the asteroid that's coming. They may blow it apart. I don't know. But I know one day one will hit, burning like a mountain, burning with fire, hit the earth, kill all the people, the green grass, the trees, the whole thing, it says. So I don't know. But if I know the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't have to worry about it. Don't have to worry about it. Now, how much is going to happen before we reach the zenith or the high point of the tribulation? Revelation 13 tells us the kingdom of the beast will be here. There'll be the number, the mark you can't buy and sell without. And do you know the last government predicted in the Bible is the government of the beast? It is the Antichrist kingdom. That is the last one predicted. That is the one, when you read the book of Daniel, where the rock cut out without hands smites the image on the feet and brings all the kingdoms down. It will smite during the time of the Antichrist kingdom. And then Christ himself will set up the kingdom that every liberal church that repeats the so-called Lord's Prayer every Sunday has been praying for and don't know it. I've talked to some of the preachers and I say, are you premillennial? They didn't know what I was talking about. Truth. Here's Here is the truth. They've prayed all this time. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One day it is. One day it is. And we call that the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign described in Revelation chapter 20, mentioned six times over there. And we read in the Bible how in Revelation 13, the mark of the beast will come. And that will be the last kingdom before the millennial. Now, we look around today, and we see all the bad stuff that's happening, including the virus. And we're hearing statements like this: we'll never be back to normal. Are you hearing that? You see, man, Rahm Emanuel, that was the Chicago mayor until this last one took over, he was with Obama in the White House, and he made the statement, never let a crisis go to waste. They're using this crisis. They are using it big right now. And this virus is advancing some things. Never be normal again. Today, we're living in the time that you can be judged if you don't wear a mask or if you do. By the way, I thought there is some good from wearing a mask. You wouldn't know whether I shaved or not And just a thought. The other thing is vaccinations. That's going to take front stage here real soon. And they're going to start declaring the vaccination. And then somebody that resists that, you're going to be the oddball. And some of us got some reasons we might resist it. All right, I want to park on that too long. But there's an anti-God crowd in high places. Now let's back off and look at this objectively just a minute. We see what's going on in the streets. We see the fear that's taken the world over the virus. Whether it's justified, it may be in some cases, but it's not the big deal that's been made out of it. And we're seeing that time now. But we have to back off and say, the powers that be, the financial markets is losing money and all this. Why is this going on? Why don't they stop it? Oh, by the way, did you notice in Minneapolis, when they got out of the city and went to the mayor's house, then she could order the police to do something. Did you notice that? And let me also say this. All that crowd that wants to get rid of the police, they got their own private police. Taxpayers paying for it. Big money to do so. But I come back to this. The anti-God crowd is in higher places than you think. For instance, two things that President Trump angered this crowd with, which is much of what is behind what we're seeing all today. The two big things he did when he got in office that angered them so bad. Number one, he moved the embassy in Israel. That made the, listen, that angered the crowd that was not part of the globalistic plan. That was not part of the Antichrist plan. He threw a monkey wrench into the one worldism when he got in. But then number two, he also started exposing what China was doing and our relationship with them. And that's financial. We got folks in the stock market, into high corporations. We got a commercial world out there that was dealing so lucratively with China, and they resent that he got in and disrupted that. So much of what you're seeing, something deeper behind it than you might be thinking about. Much deeper. There is an agenda, the globalist agenda. Now, I'm going to scatter something at you tonight, and I know I'm on the radio, and, you know, I've always kind of tried to remember that, but it's always hard. I got a newsletter here. I get these kind of things all the time. Many of you have got them. And there's a lot of people. I tell you what amazes me. There is a host of good guys out there. There are a host of good people, Christian people and others, behind the scenes exposing a lot of bad stuff that never gets front page news, never gets recognized over the networks very much. Fox a little bit, the rest of them not at all. In fact, perverted in the rest of them. But here's a newsletter. It's the WVW Foundation, Collierville's, Tennessee. It's called the Ozarks Worldview. I'm talking about the Ozark Mountains up there. This is a newsletter. I'm going to read you a few things. I can't read it all, of course. I've checked a few things. Oh, it's packed full of, and to some, shocking stuff. Now, much of this I know. I had Brother Parsons the other day. I heard something on TV where they'd banned a book. I figured if they banned it, I need to know what it said. So he ordered it for me. I was disappointed, Brother Parsons. I already knew more than they had in the book. Amen. But anyway, that happens sometime. But here's a question. I'm just going to throw some of this at you. You may not like it, but just buckle your seatbelt. So what is at the heart of the coronavirus pandemic overreach that shut down the entire U.S. economy? I think Maurice Strong answered that question as far back as 1992. And some of you know that name. I know it. Maurice Strong was head of the Earth Summit in Rio and declared, "Isn't the only hope for the planet that the industrialized civilizations collapse? Isn't it our responsibility to bring that about?" We're talking about these world movers, plotters, planners, those that are conspiring to bring America down. Maurice Strong was speaking to his socialist and Marxist friends who embraced globalism. Remember, globalism is nothing less than international socialism. I'll move off of that. Even as far back as President Bush, part of this was called the Agenda 21. Some of you might remember that. There's a lot of good men. I think Bush was probably a good man, but he was deceived. He was deceived, no doubt about it. We move on to this. In fact, in the 2010, the Rockefeller Foundation conducted a test scenario on how to use a pandemic to implement tyranny, including using an MRI to scan people before they enter a public place to see if they may indicate antisocial intent. That's strong, folks. You can't come in here unless I check you out, make sure you're my persuasion. That might be good at the church door, you reckon? All right, I'm playing around with you now. Reading from this 2010 report, sounds like the globalists have been waiting for the coronavirus crisis to implement socialism. Well, we're going to get another free check in the mail. Pretty soon, those checks are going to be worth the paper they're written on. Amen. Move again. $2.2 trillion coronavirus legislation that passed in March originally included, and watch this one now, a digital dollar. Old George Washington ought to be squirming in your billfold tonight because he's about to be replaced. Digital dollar. Goes on, I can't read it all, Federal Reserve involved and all that. Did you see in the ledger today where they're talking about the shortage of coinage? Anybody see that? Things are happening, folks. Things are happening pretty fast. Then I move on down through this article, and I pick up names you've heard me mention before, Bill and Linda Gates and their plot and their plan. His company, Microsoft, is aiding the creation of the digital dollar. What will follow, something you've heard me preach for 50 years, is coming a cashless society. That's according to the book of Revelation. It's going to be a number. I remember years ago, and my good friend, one of the bankers, a Christian man, asked him about it. He said, "Preacher, I don't really care for you telling the people." He said, most of us ought to know that, but said, we've already pretty well moved to the cashless society. He said, the truth is, your name at the bank is not much anymore. It's the number you are. Amen. I know. I said, you might not like some of it. 100% digital economy will allow every American, now watch the next word, to be tracked. Are you hearing that in the news? You hear them talking about testing you in pool groups, tracking. Now, that's what that means. Brother Perkins goes in and he tests positive. They're going to say, who you been around? He's going to say, well, the preacher and that crowd down there at Landmark. We'll bring them all in. We need to test them. Going to have a hard time rounding us up, I'll tell you that. I have a hard time rounding them up, amen? But with all that said, we're moving into this stuff so fast, folks. So fast you can't hardly keep up with it. Amazing. They're going to want to track everybody. And that's the fulfillment of Revelation 13. Keep it up with us. Digital money, cashless society. Well, one of the things that's going to come out soon now, and don't get me wrong, it's fine for you to wear a mask if you want to. If you don't, it's fine. I'm not going to fuss at you either way. If you stay home and watch it on the TV, that's all right. Just don't forget your church is still here. Don't vote to close it down. Amen. But at the same time, while we're free people, we can do that. But if you think now, and some of you have already experienced this, I'm looking at one or two of you have told me stories out there. You went in a certain business, and they fussed at you because you didn't have a mask on. Now, number one, the mask protects the person that's got the disease from spreading it. I believe Brother Nixon told me, he said, they said something to him in a store, and he said, oh, I thank you for wearing a mask. You're protecting me. See, folks, don't think about it right. It's not protecting them. It's protecting you from them. All right. Anyway, think that through just a little bit. Here's the thing that's coming. I said something to you about it the other night. This newsletter's full of it. This thing has to do with vaccinations being tattooed under your skin in such a way that a scanner can pick it up. I said that the other night, so I'm not going to park on that too much. But the vaccination thing is going to be where you're going to be stigmatized if you don't take it. Really. And they're going to know whether you took it or not. Some of you have heard me tell the story when they came to give us shots at the country school. I was in the third grade. We had talked about that thing. We heard it was coming. We were scared to death as kids. And I remember one of my cousins climbed a tree. He was a big boy. I was surprised how good he could climb. He climbed the top of that thing, and they couldn't get him. And he stayed there till the nurses left. Now, they gave you the typhoid shot, and they gave you some shot here. One of the shots they gave you was a smallpox shot. And that's the one that left the scar, and you can generally tell if somebody's had a shot small. Well, I didn't want that thing. I was scared of it. I was scared with the rest of the kids, and I was in the line. And one or two of the kids, or a few of them, had already had it, so they had the mark on their arm. And I got to looking at that mark, and I thought, I got a plan. And I took my fingernails, and I made me a mark. God help me, I got my hand on my Bible, I did it. I made me a mark. And when I got up there, I said, I already had it. Just, okay. Only trouble is, one of the teachers was my aunt. And she talked to Mama, and Mama said, he's never had it, give it to him. Sometimes he just can't get by. But anyway, the vaccination is going to become a big thing. You're going to be stigmatized if you don't go along with the plan. And maybe it'll be all right. I don't know. I just know it's another way of marking us, keeping up with us, and all of this is planned because the global society is being put together according to the Word of God, and it's headed up by the man of sin, the lawless one, and you and I can see that coming, and bless God, our blessed hope is let's get out of here before he arrives. Now, I pray that we're right on that. I believe that we are. But Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is big in this thing, big money. We're talking about millions of dollars being moved around through these outfits. And it is an amazing thing. I'm going to have to skip a little bit here. Global warming they tried to use against us. Now they're using the virus and other stuff. In October 2019, Event 201, they number these things. Event 201 was held in which the participants practiced for a pandemic. Practiced it? Sounded like it was planned. This event was sponsored by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. You've heard this one in the news, John Hopkins Center for Health, and the World Economic Forum, The World Economic Forum is also involved in ID 2020 and biochipping humans. That's the part they're involved. It appears as though the Marxist globalists and neo-Marxists have used the medical deep state to set up President Trump with the coronavirus and a government overreaction, and guess what? To destroy the American economy. See, that was his strong suit. I won't tell you what'll cure the virus. How many of you already know? Just get Trump out of office. Oh, the hype will change overnight. Oh, there'll be a silver bullet coming down the pike. That's the plan. I hope you know that. And that's coming down the plan, down the pike. The Bill Gates Foundation is going to produce to where you have a digital certificate to prove you've been vaccinated. Won't be a little third grade boy putting a scar on his arm. You ain't gonna fool him that easy. All of this keeps going, folks, keeps going. But behind it all, you can see the devil's agenda, the people he's using, the plan he's following, and how it all fits together. Now, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., we wouldn't agree with him on much. He's a rank liberal, of course. He's a socialist. He's more than that. He's a globalist. But even he has got a note in here about this thing coming. Have you heard the president fussing, and have you heard in the news him fussing about losing the freedom of speech on Twitter and these other platforms? You see, they can't stand somebody to do what I'm doing right now. Expose the truth. Tell the truth in a world where it's been lost. But see, we know what the plan is because we have a book that tells us called the Bible. We know the devil has an agenda. He has a man. He has a plan. And it's coming down the pike real fast. Real fast. Now, if you want to know what's behind it, long run, and this is a shocker if you don't already know it, and I've preached on this some before, it's population control, it's population elimination. Do you hear what I said? Elimination. Now, the book of Revelation tells me the population is going to be thinned out in the tribulation period. You read over in Revelation chapter 9 where an angel shows up, introduces four other angels that come out of the river Euphrates to kill. Their purpose is to kill one third of mankind. Revelation 9. Now watch me just a moment. God speaks of those kind of events. Even when a plague came in the Old Testament, sometime an angel was in charge of administering that plague. So you have that in the book of Revelation. But you know the liberals, the anti-God crowd wants to eliminate the population down. Do you know the tree-hugging environmentalists say that we are desecrating Gaia, Mother Earth, and we are the problem and we need to be eliminated? Of course, they want us to be in front of the line. They want to be in the rear. You know that, don't you? If you go up in Georgia, I had a preacher take me up there to see the Georgia Stonehenge, the rocks. The mystery about who put them up, but who put them up was the globalists. Who put them up was the environmentalists. Who put them up, and you read the inscriptions on them, they tell you that we've overloaded planet Earth and we've got to eliminate about 5-6 of us, I mean a big crowd, leaving only a few hundred thousand, and that's all the earth can sustain. Earth is like a head full of lice. We're the lice. I know that's a pretty image. In their eyes, we're the parasites. In their eyes, we're harming Mother Gaia, the earth. You see, folks, when you turn from God, you're going to turn to something else. There's no such thing in this world as a vacuum. And when you take God out, a vacuum is created and the devil's false ideas is going to take hold. And they have. And they have. I can't read all this. It just is amazing. The World Health Organization, that's been in the news. Let me get this. Gates said in a talk that new vaccines could reduce population. Just what I said. 4 years later, in 2014, Kenya's Catholic Doctor Association accused the World Health Organization, WHO, of chemically sterilizing millions of unwilling Kenyan women with their vaccination. It goes on down. It happened in Tanzania, Nicaragua, Mexico, Philippines. You might be shocked to know that has been working in America for a long time. We're against Planned Parenthood, so-called, started by Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger was into eugenics. Do you know the oldest member, the oldest judge on our Supreme Court still sitting? And I don't know, she don't look like she's breathing, but she is. Ginsburg, you can do this. I was talking to my son about it. I was talking about what she said about eugenics. That means killing off the population you want to kill off. I was talking to him about it, and he done that magic thing with his phone. He had it out while I'm talking. I was about ready to slap him and say, pay me some attention. But he pulled it up. He said, here's a quote. Here's a quote. You want to know why the abortion got started? You want to know why there's a Planned Parenthood? It was to kill off the population. And I want to say this to every black person, listen to me. It was started to get rid of you first. Amen. You want to talk about it, a monstrosity? It's a black person supporting the abortion clinics. Because it was started to get rid of you. And that's what Ginsburg quote was from the Supreme Court. Not only the black race, but any minority race, they want to be the superior race that's left. Oh, folks, it's deeper than you think. But the Bible's already spoke about it. Amen. There's a Marie Stopes, S-T-O-P-E-S. Might be familiar with her. She was a promoter of eugenics and even wrote a support letter to Adolf Hitler. Attended the Third Reich's International Congress for Population Science in 1935 in Berlin. She was also involved in the International Planned Parenthood Federation started by Margaret Sanger, I just mentioned. Sanger was also into eugenics, promoted a Nazi doctor, and referred to minorities. If you consider yourself a minority race, she referred to you as weeds that need to be eliminated. Check all of it out. You can check it out. A lot of groups are hiding this population thing in their eugenics program. Vaccinations is coming into this. See, they believe the world is overpopulated. We are harming planet Earth. We own a big spaceship going through space, and we need to unload it because we're too heavy. Did you get that? Well, they taught that way back 25, 30 years ago, they taught that to our kids in school. Only they used the example of a boat in the water with a family on it. And grandma was getting old and the boat was overloaded, so they threw grandma out. Yeah, your kids were taught that. I had a kid going to the public school right in this area come to me when I was pastoring in the 70s. And they were almost in tears. And here's what they were saying. We were given a test question. Which would you rather do? Stomp on the American flag or eat a mouthful of flesh, human flesh? Make a choice. Well, of course, you know what they wanted. They wanted to say, I'd stomp on the flag before I'd eat a mouthful of human flesh. And the kid said, how should I answer that, preacher? I said, tell them, no, you don't have to do either one, and you're not answering that stupid question. Don't have to do either one. It's a plan. It's a trap to see if they can say, okay, under some conditions, you would stomp on the flag. See, that was the whole motive behind it. All right, I got off on that. Just say, this thing's been going on a long time. It's been going on a long time. Planned Parenthood. Many of these groups are active in poor countries who have large populations of humans with dark skin. You better remember that next time you think we're being a little extreme when we preach against abortion. You know, Bill and Melinda Gates Institute is located within the Department of Population, Family, and Reproductive Health at Johns Hopkins University. Well, that foundation has been pumped into it $2.4 billion into the World Health Organization. All right, I could keep going, but better not. All I want to say to you folks, there's a big agenda. It's to bring in the Antichrist kingdom. There's some big names, there's some real big money, and there's some real big plans. The plan that's hitting us the hardest right now, I preached on it this morning. You can't pacify evil. You have to stand against it. The biggest stand against evil is going to be in the final wrap-up, Revelation chapter 19, when Jesus comes back and sets things right. In the meantime, so well, how much time we got? I don't know, but I know what we're supposed to be doing with the time we got left. Supposed to be reaching souls, standing for what's right. That's when we need to keep the church doors open. You see, there's a big plot of all the places that was doing the restraining and resisting against evil. It was good churches. And a lot of preachers told me I made a mistake because I shut down. Now they don't want me to open up. That's wrong, folks. You see, the devil wants to stop you and I from doing just what I'm doing tonight. And sad truth is, a lot of souls are going to hell because a lot of churches shut off preaching the gospel. And a lot of people, even good people, I hate to say this, but even good people are going to go lax now in coming back. They're going to create a habit that's wrong. They're going to excuse it. But if enough do that, some good churches will close down. I want to say to you, let's renew our vow in our heart, Lord. If there's anything on this earth other than the Word of God itself that represents you, it's your church. And we're sending a message to God as to how we think about, how we support, how we believe in, how we work in the house of God. Amen. This place, we vow to stay doing what we've always done. Representing right against wrong, giving the gospel, and to doing our best to keep reaching souls until the trumpet sounds. That's our job. The Bible says we're to occupy till he comes. And as much as I'm proud we got technology to reach in the living room, that's still not church. Church is where we assemble together. We better keep that in mind. Amen. All right, let's stand. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I've scattered some stuff around tonight. I pray you'd use it. I pray, if nothing else, your people would be forewarned and that we'd not just be gullible with the rest of the world and have the same fears the rest of the world has and handicap our service to you. I pray you'd bless us to be faithful, to tell every soul we can, to tell them the Lord Jesus must be coming soon, that all the evil in the world is pointing that it can't be this way all the time. It's going to get worse, but Jesus is coming soon. I pray you'd bless us here at Landmark to take the stand we ought to take, and Father, to continue to declare your truth, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Haven't really preached the gospel to you. If you're here and you're unsaved, you can come to the front. We'll take a Bible. We'll show you how you can be saved and know it. You do whatever God's asked you to do as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender. I surrender.
Somebody says, what do? Well, we don't hide from the evil. We resist the evil. We speak the truth. We tell folks who the winner is in the long run. We see all these things coming. We don't know the time element how quick, but we that are older are saying, please come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maybe some of you are younger saying, wait a little longer, Lord Jesus, but he's going to come on his time. He's not late. He'll come at the right time. He'll wrap it up. But there's a real fight over who's going to set up the kingdom and rule planet Earth, good or evil, Christ or Antichrist. That's what the struggle is. Occupy till he comes. Hope we can keep running buses, having camps, going soul winning, even when some good folks think we're wrong to do so. Do you know the church throughout history? I was reading about the churches in Revelation there. You read about all of them and the struggles they went through. You read about the blood that was shed, the preachers that went to jail and burned at the stake. We're not hurting at all compared to that. We ought to be ashamed of some of the stuff we whine about. Amen. Truth. All right. Somebody said, well, I went down to the Landmark and I left depressed. Well, God bless you. They said to Billy Sunday, your preaching is rubbing the fur wrong. He said, then turn the cat around. That's what I'm saying to you. Turn the cat around. Get on the right side of things. Bless God. Amen. All right. All right. Amen. All right. Colin and Leah, come stand with me here. Morton family's back with us for a while here. And coming in by statement, I'm not sure we want anybody from New York, though. All right. Have a motion to receive them. And show of hands and so cared. And of course, not only good to see them, but good to see the babies. Amen. I saw one of them already been kidnapped tonight. One of the ladies had him and was leaving. Amen. All right. Come by and shake hands. Welcome them back into the church tonight. God bless you. Let's be dismissed.